Noir. You know what one of my favorite movies is?
What?
L.A. Confidential. Have you seen it?
Oh, that's great.
My God, have you seen it?
I should have, but I don't think I have.
Oh, God damn it. Get it on the horse, man. You, the fact... This sounds like I'm being melodramatic. The fact that you haven't seen that movie makes me sad. Because the movie's so good, and the thought that you've missed out on it. Like, I'm like...
But I've seen a lot of movies that have touched me in the heart, Jeff.
No, it's like, in my mind, this...
Makes up for it.
Like, there's like you, living in your never having seen the L.A. Confidential thing. And then there's those, remember from like early 2000s, like the big guy with the white beard. Wow. Donate to Christian Children's Fund because these children are digging in dumpsters to feed themselves. Like, it's like you and the dumpster children.
Guess what? You're living in the Matrix. You don't even know it.
What?
Yeah. And you haven't seen the movie, so you don't understand the concept.
I've seen the first movie.
That's, you can just stop there. You'll be fine. You don't need to see the other two.
He doesn't think...
Honestly, I didn't like the first one.
You didn't like it, so you didn't understand. Okay. You didn't see it.
Well, that makes more sense.
He didn't like it.
But, yeah, it was a movie that a friend really wanted to show me when we were back in 5th, 6th grade, whenever. He was super excited about it. And, I mean, he gets excited about a lot of things, but this was special. And I let him down in a big way by falling asleep the first time we were to watch it. And then the second time, after soccer practice, I just wanted to go to sleep, and I didn't get it. I was just too young to get it. But at the same time, he was like a year younger than me. And to be super excited, he must have got something. It's a complicated movie.
The Matrix.
For kids.
It's a brilliant movie. It really
is.
It's
brilliant.
It's well written. It's well written. And the references, the Trinity, and there's references to all sorts of human history, not just biblical. That's right, biblical I meant. Theologically biblical. Western and Eastern religions both. There's just so many references.
Doesn't the Matrix look like...
Everything is connected like that.
Doesn't the Matrix, the code, look like Asian symbols? Chinese symbols of some sort? But they just go down?
Symbols, yeah.
Wait, they... that's how they write it in Chinese, too. It's vertical.
No, well, the Japanese is vertical.
Chinese is not. Okay.
It's right to the left. That green code iconography, to me, it just looks like the late 90s. like just that time period. That's when I think of the late 90s, I think of Columbine and the green Matrix.
Came out in the 90s.
That whole movie was pretty green. It wasn't just the code. It was the
first to use 180-degree camera.
Really?
Yeah.
Come again? Snap. What do you mean by that?
Which you should appreciate. They set up like 60, 70 cameras. At least 30 or 40. An entire circle around the actors.
Oh, is that how they did the spinning around as they're fighting? They're like paws in the air.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that makes sense. The first film to apply that. Yeah.
Bullet time.
Thank you.
I remember after that for years, like the first half of the 2000s, like every other action movie had that motif. Yeah. Someone's frozen in air and they're spinning the camera.
Like, didn't Jet Li
enough already?
Jet Li. Yeah.
Jet Li did The One. That's what they called the movie.
The One. Yeah.
The One.
So that's how influential this movie is. So my point being, I don't even know if L.A. Confidential is even going to. This, are you the only person that's seen both?
Both L.A. Confidential and The Matrix.
Yeah,
I've seen both.
Him too.
Yeah, but you don't count because you didn't like Matrix.
Why'd you ask if I'm the only person? If I'm the only one that you mean?
I'm clearly, he's not the only one. Even if I don't count, I've also seen both of them.
You know.
But you haven't seen L.A. Confidential.
And what year would it come out?
And what the? You can't compare L.A. Confidential to The Matrix. They're two entirely different kinds of movies.
Well, don't compare two things if you haven't seen one of them. At the same time.
I know, but what are we doing? I'm trying to remember when it came out.
97.
Okay.
Is there an echo in here?
Is there an echo in here?
I'm trying to remember who was in it.
Kevin Spacey. Guy Pearce.
James Cromwell. Danny DeVito,
exactly.
Kim Basinger.
Back before he was doing all comedies.
Who?
Oh, Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
That's his. That's been his calling card even before LA yeah. Confidential.
The what was it? The act, was just an action movie.
Or, LA Confidential's a drama.
It's a drama.
Series. Yeah,
series, right? Because I think of the series.
There was a series, but it was canceled. I have a Blu-ray of LA Confidential. I don't know if you guys want to. How late you guys want to stay tonight? If you want to.
To watch LA Confidential.
LA Confidential after the podcast, I'm totally willing. You guys are totally.
Well, I'm sure I could, it's 97. I can go home and watch it for free. I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's 97. YouTube. I mean, everything's free. Yeah. 97.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it'll. Yeah.
I think I can work for it.
But again, I think I would call that a neo noir because I think noirs, you know,
well, noirs like are good.
40 styles. Yeah. Movie, it has to be black and white to be called a noir.
Well, original noir.
And a neo-noir is just a noir film that's color.
There's probably more qualifications, but yeah.
That's one thing that I've never been able to nail down. I'm not trying to undermine what you're saying here, but they come up with so many designations for genres that it starts to get kind of pretentious for me, like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it's a postmodern, humanistic approach of comedy, but there's, you know, it's like,
you know what that is.
You know what I mean?
You know what that is? It's cultural idiosyncratic. It's culturally idiosyncratic, but there's a better word for it. Ethnocentric is what it is. Culturally, American. Influence. We have certain genres, fish out of water, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably find that in Bollywood, sure. But noir?
I consider it a subgenre.
I think you would find that more, actually, in some other places. But yeah, of course, subgenres, overly specific genres. So,
okay.
And everybody kind of, a lot of people have a different idea of what noir actually is, by the way.
It's, I think of it as, like, some is detective it, in a fedora.
It has to do with an anti-hero.
The femme fatale.
And
yeah.
let me tell you where a good example is of noir crossing in modern day was Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight.
That's a noir?
It's many things. Yeah, it's I mean, I things. Wouldn't. I wouldn't just call it a superhero film. It's
This is the genre that broke the superhero. It also broke Heath Ledger, apparently, but he broke some records there, too. So, I mean, just in the sense of who wins an Oscar for playing the Joker.
Do you think he would have won if he hadn't died?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope he would have.
I hope so, too.
I don't think the role killed him. You know, he was working on a Terry Gilliam film.
No, that's a powerful statement to say that the role killed him, but I didn't really mean it in that sense, but I was just saying...
I heard a funny story, though.
That broke a lot of barriers. But
right.
That took a British person to bring the noir.
Ozzy. Oh, you mean Christopher Nolan being British, yes. Right,
gotcha.
That's why I can never question his castings, is because Heath Ledger... The world didn't know it at the time, but he was the perfect Joker.
He was.
And who could have seen that, you know? I mean, he was still good in other things, but the Joker? Like, oh, wait, that's the guy that did Monsters Ball and The Patriot and 10 Things I Hate About You and...
And he's got some stiff competition.
A Knight's Tale.
With Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, Nicholson was good, too.
Yeah. But even Jared Leto, you know? Mm-hmm. They didn't show very much of it.
Well, anyway.
Not a fan of Leto.
Some people are, and it's not, it's some people really do like Leto's Joker, and he really did prepare for it.
Leto was, every story I've heard about him, he sounds like he was a fucking douchebag on set.
Yeah, he was.
Sending dead mice to cast members, that's what the Joker would do.
Whereas Heath Ledger is like, Christian Bale, hit me as hard as you can. You know,
that's the stuff I really respect.
Yeah,
by the way,
yeah,
you're gonna get an honest reaction.
Batman to hit Christian Bale as Batman to hit you as hard as you can. Seriously, Yeah.
Yaroslavsky, I don't think it's that big of a spoiler. It's like Yaroslavsky's telling Zach Shannon, hit me with that exactly. pipe.
Yeah, yeah. you know.
Without giving away too much.
Is that your movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah.
You gave it away. Now I know it's about pipes.
I remember hitting him with the pistol. Now that I know he's a prison guard, it felt really good.
He wasn't at the time.
I know, he wasn't at the time. Yeah. But now that I know that he is, okay.
By the way, don't call him a prison guard. He doesn't like that.
No, I wouldn't.
It's a, yeah.
Do that.
Apparently.
And yeah, I wouldn't do it anyway.
It's so bizarre. Apparently, prison guard is considered derogatory.
He's a corrections officer, yeah.
Like a corrections officer is basically...
He just works in the prison.
Yes. Yeah. It's basically a prison guard, but with more responsibilities.
So I hit a cop in the face with that. That's a great story. I hit a cop in the face with a pistol.
Corrections officer.
Corrections officer.
He's still a cop.
A cop
that works at more... Works parolees?
He works at the Eastern Oregon prison in Pendleton.
Yeah, but... corrections officer I was usually associated with parole.
No, he's
at a penitentiary.
He's in the prison. He guards the prisoners.
I guess mm-hmm. It takes a lot more experience to do probation or parole.
But he says that the term that the accepted term is corrections officer mm-hmm. because guard is derogatory because guards apparently, we're lazier, and they just like ran in when there was a fight. But otherwise,
in Mexico,
stayed away. That's pretty much.
It's sensitive.
It is.
I didn't know that, but I've often thought that being PC is often not advantageous. I think it's getting to the point where everyone is just. I don't know. You gotta have thick skin sometimes. I enjoyed comedies in the 90s. A lot of movies in the 90s that couldn't get made. Even Simpsons episodes in the 90s, you know. There's some parts. I was watching Futurama today. And that's like my favorite cartoon show of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And to cut out little bits that could be misinterpreted. A couple words that really made a scene. And the part where I was waiting. I can't wait to hear that again. That always got a laugh out of me. And they got rid of it. Just the episode I was watching today. And
on Netflix? No,
maybe the full thing is on Netflix. But they show Futurama on Comedy Central every day. And I don't understand why they get rid of these little snippets. I still think it would make its running time. It was still built into the 30-hour time slot a decade and a half ago. So what's going on? Are commercials getting longer? Or are people just so PC it hurts?
You bring up, you remind me of, you're gonna love this then. I did a podcast. I suggest you guys listen to it if you have a chance. I thought it was really interesting. I had Zach Shannon here last December, and he talked about his job. Zach Shannon is also one of the stars of Truffle Runners. Mm-hmm. Filmed it before he left.
He's the guy I was trying to remember the name when I was
telling you. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Shannon was. Telling me that apparently the term prisoner is considered derogatory. The preferred term, yeah, prisoner is derogatory. The preferred term is inmate. And I asked him, is there any good way to be referred to as a prisoner? You're in prison.
In jail? Yeah. Trust me, no one gives a fuck. Even when Tupac went to jail, they called him N-word, right?
Sure.
And
the officers?
Yeah. And then Tupac was like, oh my god, dude, did you hear what you said? And everyone else was like, so? That's what they do. You're in jail.
Wow.
And no, that's...
I know what you're saying. I don't...
One of the worst areas, of course, when it was San Quentin. I don't know if it's San Quentin or Pelican Bay or where he was. But, the L.A. area. But, at any jail, there is no PC. No one gives a damn about you in jail. That's not set up.
Zach tells me that referring to them as prisoners is considered derogatory. Which surprised the hell out of me.
Well, I think Europe is far ahead of the United States in the prison system goes. As far as he's a corrections officer, right? Well, I mean, we've got a 50%+ recidivism rate.
Apparently, Oregon is much better than most of the rest of the country, because we have programs to. You got to hear the Shannon podcast. I think it's like the 18th, 19th, 20th, somewhere around there. But the recidivism rates are lower here because there's education programs. There's a law that you can't just sit on your bunk when you're in prison. In Oregon, you have to get involved and do something. You have to. You can't just sit in your cell holding onto the bars. You have to get out and be part of the community in prison.
And they actually let you get your GED or whatever. Education.
Yeah. And I used to be one of those guys that I'd think, fuck them. I mean, they do the crime, do the time. But Zach explained that when you get the prisoners, the inmates, pardon me, involved into
well, that's true. They don't activities. Say prisoner anywhere in the United States. They say inmate.
Yeah, inmate.
For whatever reason. Yeah.
I always think the prisoners comes to mind, but inmates the term whatever. Yeah. But they get them involved in these things, and because the more there's a correlation. And they suspect a causation when you get them involved in activities they work for like $20 a month, but when you make them feel useful and you build them up inside prison, they have less of a chance of coming back because they have a better idea on how to function in society. Whereas if you warehouse a person for 5-10 years. But they'll go out and they'll forget how to work in society and they'll resort to stealing and again.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're reminding me of actually Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
That poor guy, freaking
Rooks.
God, I was.
You're talking about the main character.
No, we're not talking.
The old guy Brooks, that was
who ended up hanging himself.
Yeah.
That was a very sad sequence. I mean, first of all, he was going to cut someone's throat so he could stay.
Yeah.
And he was let out anyway. I mean,
He was going to shoot someone. He thought about shooting someone.
No, he didn't have a gun. I think he had a knife.
No, when he got out, he was thinking about shooting someone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, he wrote that in his letter. Like, anything to get back here.
Yeah.
But it was so sad for me to hear that he was scared at night. You know, every night he was so scared, just out in this world. And, you know, he said, I saw an automobile once and now they're everywhere, you know, because he's been in jail for like 50 years. And he ended up hanging himself, but you get institutionalized. That's the word. And sounds like what they're having inmates. Is that an accepted term?
That's the accepted term.
I'm going to use it until I think of something better. Yeah, to make them feel like they're still functioning humans is a great idea. And Brooks, I mean, nothing could save him because it's just been so long, but, you know, he was a librarian in there and really enjoyed his work. So much so that when he had the chance to not do it again and instead be free, that sounded like a fate worse than death.
God. It sets the mind into a pattern that... In 50 years, I don't know how many programs would prepare you to be out of prison after 50 years, but
we could talk about what's wrong with the American justice system for days.
Oh God, we could.
This is yeah.
The saddest part of the movie for me wasn't when Brooks. I think we're past the spoiler point. The movie is over 20 years old, but spoilers isn't necessary anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The saddest part for me, not when he hung himself, but. He had that little crow that he was friends with.
Oh, he had to let it go.
He let it go out the window. I'm like, oh, God, this is his only friend.
His name is Jake.
Jake. And he's feeding him maggots. And
yeah.
That was, I think the scene where I'm like, It was the scene that just confirmed that I was about to finish watching a great, great movie.
I feel it's probably the best movie I've ever seen.
I think my brother would agree with you. But
it's really good.
Yeah, holding the knife to that guy's throat, his friend's throat, and saying, you know, they all rush in and go, Brooks, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're about to be released. And he's actually breaking down. He can't do it. And that's why he's breaking down. I can't kill this person that I like. Unfortunate, because I want to do something. What did he say? His words exactly. Something about, I need to do this so they'll make me stay.
Yeah.
And then crying. And that's when I knew this movie had the depth that I was really looking for. If this was going to win any sort of Oscar, you know?
It didn't.
It didn't?
No.
Nothing? Writing?
I don't think it did.
Two movies. Pulp Fiction and Forrest Gump.
They dominated that year. Although, Best Supporting Actor went to Martin Landau for Ed Wood.
It was later recognized as one of the greatest. It's usually recognized as the greatest film of all time, or at least the top three.
Which that's among fans, like movie fans.
But the most official list. When they list the top 100 films of all time. Now, this is a movie, Shawshank Redemption, I was forced to watch in school. I mean, it's that important.
We watched a really shitty version of it that was butchered for TV.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, a shorter one. Middle school. Fuck. Or no, high school. It's high school. Yeah.
And then...
But yeah, it lost money. It eventually gained back, of course, but that's because people realized how brilliant it was. But it had a lot to do with Tom Hanks at Forrest Gump being released just before, and not as much Pulp Fiction because they're so far apart, but mostly it was Forrest Gump. Good movie, but no comparison. Shawshank Redemption is the better movie.
I love them both.
Yeah, it's hard to pick for me.
You're talking about a completely fictional movie. In fact, Forrest Gump. And in fact, if you actually read the book, it's even more out there. He goes to space. He goes. For Forrest Gump. If you read the book for Stephen King's novella,
I've read it.
It's called Different Seasons.
Rita Hayworth in the Shawshank Redemption is
one of them. The four, was it four? I think
the movie's much better than the.
The book is actually more realistic, as far as more likely to be true, if that makes sense. It's just a Stephen King, or story.
You know what's funny about the...
That wasn't too hoary.
The process of adaptation, you know, what always amuses me? In the novella version, the character of Red, he's called Red because he's like an Irish dude with red hair.
Yeah.
And then it translates into Morgan Freeman. He's still called Red.
Yeah, he's a sarcasm.
In a nod to Red Fox, the comedian.
But you know what else is called Red? That must be in the book, if you remember.
What
that they didn't want to have in the film for obvious reasons is the reason he was a lifer.
He's a rapist or something?
Even worse, he dismembered his wife and child. I mean, really horrible murder, double murder.
I'm so sorry for what I've done.
I mean, you can never see Morgan Freeman doing that, you know?
Oh, yeah, the rehabilitation scenes. I love
and you
that.
Can't that see speech, rehabilitation in that guy.
That speech, like he gives that speech, and if you knew in the movie that he had butchered his child,
butchered,
go fuck yourself. My good friend and your
it's
friend.
Comical. It's comical, think about it.
But wait, is that what he did in the movie version, too?
No, they don't talk about it.
They don't talk about it.
But reference it. He just says that stupid kid doing a stupid crime. It doesn't sound like that's what he did. It sounds like he just shot somebody.
Stupid. Who knows? That'd be kind of funny. I was just a stupid kid. Didn't we all go through a butchering your wife in childhood?
That's how you become a man. Hey,
you make a good if not enough people know the history of that.
Oh, God.
If they did, it'd be a good Saturday Night Live skit.
Well,
I think the other really awesome layer to that movie, I'm sure it was in the book, but just how awesome and complex and sort of unexpected. You expect the warden in any prison movie to sort of be a villain, but my God, that character played by Bob Gunton.
The Norton guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy is
brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, it's because it begins as an innocuous conversation. You know, he goes, you know, I heard this guy said that someone else actually did it, and he's willing to prove it, and I should really pursue this. And
oh, see if God, I can, that
particular scene.
Yeah, and it just becomes, you know, realize, if I got out, I'd never talk about what we did, you know, the laundering. He said, don't you ever talk to me about Bunny again, you sorry son of a bitch.
That's when you realize.
Solitary a month.
Wow.
You just get so mad, and it's like, oh.
That's the breaking, that's when you really come up. That's first when you realize that the warden, Norton, is not connected to reality. It is not sensible at all. And it's also where you see Andy Dufresne hit the rock bottom. Where I mean, you can't even imagine. And then you actually think he might have killed himself, right? The way they set it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they kill the guy that he educated.
Exactly. Educated. That was so sad. It was so necessary. It's one of the things that makes it a great movie. But... Yeah. My God, yeah, when they talk outside, and, are you sure about this? Yes. Yeah. Would you be willing to testify? Absolutely, just give me the chance.
And then Byron Hatley.
That guy's he's worse than the fucking...
I know,
the warden. I hate that guy.
He's physically, yeah.
Although I have to say, I did like him, the scene where he beat up the sisters.
Yeah. Oh,
the guys that were raping Dufresne, and he goes into his cell, and Hadley's there, and he just, unsheathes his baton,
and he just knows he's gonna.
He loves every second he gets to break bones.
Yeah, he just he reminds me of a Nazi concentration, the Doctor of Death at Mengele.
sadistic fuck.
Yeah.
Similar character, actually, Clancy Brown in Starship Troopers.
I need to see that again.
Oof. Man, this is a very 1997-oriented episode.
94, too.
I think it... Yeah, that too. That too. What?
Go on. Remind me of Brooks, because it reminded me of something, but go ahead, so will you...
It's a very similar character. Have you seen Starship Troopers, Jordan? Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Oh, man. That movie is done in such an interesting way.
I saw it recently, but I can't remember which one Clancy Brown is.
Clancy Brown would be the guy that threw the knife and hit somebody's hand. Remember he said, put it against the wall?
Oh, fuck.
And he just throws a knife and impales this guy.
Oh. Is he like that, the leader of the group?
I don't think he's close enough. He's like the drill sergeant.
I gotcha.
That
movie's a lot of fun.
My goodness, is it ever. I'll show you that too, Jordan. Do you remember all the propaganda in that film? The only good bug is a dead bug.
Oh, yeah.
And how it shifts point of views like that from Rico to just like, now you're watching a commercial. A war commercial. And then, back to Rico doing what he's doing on the bug planet. And it's hard to explain, but I've never seen a movie do that. It's like a war satire, but that you're totally invested in.
Well, absolutely.
When they want to show the joke of it all, they do, and you might laugh. But it doesn't take away from your experience when they're back there, and it's so violent, too. A lot of movies I love just because I was so young when I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? They're always going to be very near and dear to your heart. That's what a lot of people tell me. When it comes to Independence Day, I tell him to fuck off. Because I think that movie's got a lot going for it. But Starship Troopers also.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And what's the problem with that?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. But it's got moments that really make you feel for the characters. And when, when Rico He hasn't seen it, though.
Don't give away too much.
I'm going to stop there because you had a thought about Brooks.
Brooks. Not directly about Brooks, but Brooks reminded me. A lot of what I'm saying tonight is a repeat of my Zach Shannon episode, strangely. But I was reminded about this guy. Jordan may have heard of him because he seems to have heard of everything. But
if it relates to the history of Europe, you better believe it.
It doesn't. But so maybe I have a chance. This guy, William Herons. In the 1940s, Chicago was under siege by a serial killer. He was called the Lipstick Killer. There was a movie about it, I think it may have been a noir. It was like a 40s exploitation crime thriller. Basically, people started dying, and then one of the murder sites, he had killed a woman, and he had taken her lipstick and written a message on the wall. Please, for the love of God, please stop me before I kill again. And the police were, like a little girl died, like a kid, a few women died, and the police were freaked out, and they eventually settled on this 17-year-old kid, William Herons, as the killer. Like, this is the guy. He pled guilty to the crime, and it was 1946 when he went to prison. Over the years since then, he claimed his confession was coerced, and he wasn't the lipstick killer. I don't know if I believe him or not, but the murders stopped after Herons was arrested. So who knows? But he said he was innocent all these years. But he went into prison in 1946 after World War II ended, the year after. He was in prison for the rest of his life until he died in 2012. So, from the year after World War II to the year that Barack Obama was reelected.
Well,
that's a huge scoop of history to be behind bars. Yeah.
I half expected you to say, the day after he died, they exonerated him.
That would have been cruel.
It would have been. Well, I don't think prisoners that are exonerated get enough. I mean, for taking your life away. There's some financial compensation, but not a lot.
Well, going back in history, we had plenty of death row, especially now that we have DNA, we have other, even ballistics has improved. I mean, we've exonerated people that we've killed already.
Yeah.
Plenty, lots of them. And then not only that, but almost killed many people that were exonerated. And not even kind of borderline, they might not have done it, but absolutely didn't do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a sticking point for me. In theory, maybe I'll get people saying I'm a bastard, but in theory, I'm not against the death penalty because there's some people that are just fucking evil. The lights out, motherfucker.
I'm not against the death penalty.
But I do have problems with it when it turns out the people that we've killed turned out to be innocent. That I'm
there's no way around that.
That's the
paradox.
That's the thing that you
absolutely.
I used to be 100% all ahead. Yeah, kill the fuckers, but
and make it hurt if they're really bad.
Oh God, but
they can't.
We got Percy Wetmore from the Green Mile over here. But another conversation we could have, but that's the thing that makes me doubt capital punishment because I don't want a single innocent person to die.
I think even guilty people, because first of all, a lifetime in prison is worse than being killed in all probability.
Yeah.
It's maybe philosophical, but secondly, so we're fucking murderers. A mafioso kills a mafioso. He's still liable for murder.
Yeah.
Just because the guy that he's killing, black on black crime, that black person killed that that person's homie first.
What are you going with this, Jordan?
No, you're not following me.
I'm absolutely not following you at all.
So I'm saying gang mentality crime for a youth gang. Forget about black on black, just youth gang. So this guy kills your homie, and then you kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you're saying murder is murder no matter what.
So, but they only catch you who killed him. How's that any different than killing somebody because they killed someone else?
Well, yeah, self-defense versus not.
Not even that. Well, that's another problem with it. It could, every state's got a different self-defense law, which is ridiculous.
I don't know. It's
some states you can get away with it, someone just stepping on your property. Other states, you pretty much are fucked if you shoot somebody, even if they're armed. So you're at least going to get manslaughter. So
I think there needs to be a uniform. Dude, federal law for self-defense.
This is like a healthcare thing. The United States is like the only, minus the Islamic countries, we're like the only country, this is the only thing we have in common with the Islamic countries, death penalty. Think about it, that. Just let that sink in.
Wait, the death penalty, that's almost gone? I mean,
well,
we still have it.
Maybe in Texas, but
no, we have it in Oregon.
I think
it's about to be outlawed, if I'm not mistaken.
It should be on the entire country.
I don't know. It's, I don't know, when I think about someone like Jeffrey Dahmer, butchering people and eating them,
making like bulls out of their skulls.
Yeah, bullshit like that. It's like, harder for me.
Tribal people do in South America and Africa. They're free. They do that shit, and cannibalism and.
Well. They're to themselves, but I agree with Jeffrey Dahmer. I'd want him.
He was actually beaten to death by another.
So that was somehow prisoner. Better. That's not. Yeah. See what I mean?
Well, I'm not saying it was.
That was awful.
Justified that he.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you shared a cell with Jeffrey Dahmer, would you not just beat the living shit out of him?
But you see why the mentality.
I don't know.
Exists.
I'd be scared of him. Probably.
Me too.
The mentality exists. Part because we set the example that it's okay to murder capital punishment. We are the state murders, innocent or not, murders.
Yeah, it's hard to get right, but in a perfect world, if someone was just pure evil,
dude, in a perfect world, there wouldn't be evil.
The world doesn't even.
In the perfect penal world,
most of the world doesn't even fathom that our gun. The fact that a toddler each week shoots somebody.
People need to be more responsible with their fucking guns.
The world doesn't fathom the stuff that happens in the United States.
True.
The world doesn't. I mean, at least the parts of the world that are even halfway connected, you know? Which is most, half of the world at least.
But, yeah, it's one thing that we do agree on is it's absolutely unacceptable for, and obviously your opinion goes beyond this, but our agreement, I think, it's unacceptable that innocent people be put to death, capital punishment, and...
Well, to the point that we can't even get the chemicals to kill people.
Yeah. And now they're going to try stupid shit like bleach or something.
Bleach? No, to kill someone?
I don't think they're actually going to use bleach, but I'm just hypothesizing.
Uh-huh.
But on the other end of the spectrum from capital punishment, I don't want, like, fucking Norway, who had... Anders Breivik goes on this island, murders 200 people, and he gets a 20-year prison
sentence.
That's
an issue, too.
That's like, what the fuck?
But the United States makes that mistake, too. We let people out who are multiple homicide offenders. We give them parole someday.
It's fucking ridiculous.
That's true as well. They should be locked up for the rest of their lives.
It's... Yeah. Like some killers I don't know. How do you quantify what someone else's life is worth in terms of punishing someone else who killed? Yeah.
It's like Sirhan Sirhan, right?
Yeah, he's until he dies.
And he's still alive.
Yeah.
This is the guy who shot Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, my.
He's still alive in there.
He murdered a Kennedy family member, and he's still living. That is...
He's up for parole. He just... I mean, for instance, he just was denied it, but this guy keeps going up for parole.
It's... So, there's some weird... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to mention, one, yeah, I mean, I still think more states definitely have opposed the death penalty by now, but I remember when it was in the mid-90s. I mean, this is going to sound like it's from a different...
1890s.
Yeah. No, the 1990s. I know, but... This is going to sound like it's from a different world, but I remember watching the news one night, and there was an electric chair, I believe in Florida, that was malfunctioning.
Dude, all electric.
Hold on. This is getting really good.
Oh, no.
This electric chair malfunctioned so badly that prisoners that were being executed with it, sparks were coming out of their eyes.
Yeah.
It was extremely painful. Yeah, it probably played out like that, but in that case, you know, that evil guard who I'd then tie up to that electric chair and do the same thing to, remember?
Yeah.
Not getting the sponge wet?
Yeah.
That's why it was so gruesome. But the chair was doing that even with the proper procedure. And the news show was actually going to put it to a vote. Should we even fix it?
You know, the electric.
Really?
Doesn't that sound like it's from a different world? Like,
it doesn't.
Yeah, the fuck 90s, them anyway, they're gonna die.
I don't think. Were the 90s that brutal?
No.
Was it Fox News?
The electric chair was Thomas Edison's wet dream.
Edison was a fucking sadist.
He used to fry animals. And the reason he did
elephant.
It, to show that. DC eventually lost this battle, obviously, because everything's AC now. But to show that Tesla was wrong about AC, and this is what AC does to people.
Wouldn't a direct current kill someone too?
I don't. Not as easy. See, the thing is the method that it's easier to. They're saying, for instance, this little kid got electrocuted at an AC. You know, alternating current transformer, you know, plant or anyway. So, the DC direct current is safer in general. It's much less efficient. So I don't know. I'm not an electrical engineer, but DC current, I guess, because it's going just direct one instead of back and forth. If you're not even touching the ground, like, you wouldn't even necessarily be electrocuted.
Wow.
Yeah, electricity has to be grounded.
Yeah. So, AC provides both the ground and the... That makes sense.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I found, when I was in high school, like, I stumbled upon this, it was an Edison movie, it was from 1903. And it was called Electrocuting an Elephant. And all it was, someone had this, like, old black and white, probably hand-cranked film camera at a circus.
Yeah.
And the elephant was sentenced to death. This is so fucked up and unfair. The elephant was sentenced to death because a circus worker extinguished a cigarette on its skin. And the elephant freaked out and stomped him to death.
Yeah.
And so the elephant must die. So they took the elephant. Edison's they were gonna like shoot the elephant. And Edison's, that's not a spectacle. I'll give you a spectacle. And so Edison brings up these huge, like, platforms for the elephant to step on, and they're wired up to juice. And there's a guy filming it. And you see the video quality's not good. There's kind of a gray haze. It's early 20th century. Yeah. Footage, so it's pretty bad quality, but you see this lumbering beast go up and
how much electricity?
Stand, probably a lot. He stands on the thing, and after a few minutes, or maybe 20 seconds, you start to see smoke billowing up from under his feet. And then pretty soon,
it just falls over.
It collapses, and it steams a little more, and then they turn it off, and people are running around all excited. Well,
he also has
hooves. Look what they just did.
He has hooves, too. Elephants have hooves?
No. I don't know. But now I'm going to wonder about that.
I've never heard them called hooves. Hooves? Hooves?
They're like just perfectly cylindrical things with nothing...
I think that if you had them,
stumps. That's what they are.
The electricity would you'd be a little more immune to it. But anyway, you could get struck, like cows, I think, get struck by lightning and survive the whole time.
Hey, if a human can do it, what's the record? Yeah, 7 times?
Good.
That's what I heard.
Wait, someone's been struck 7 times, or 7 people have been struck?
One person 7 times. That was in an almanac.
Throughout their lives or all at once?
Probably throughout their lives.
I think
I thought lightning never strikes twice.
It doesn't strike twice. It strikes 7 times. Or once.
Hit 7 times. And lightning can strike at the same place twice. In fact, look at a lightning rod at the top of a building. Yeah. It strikes them all the time.
That's true.
But have you guys seen Benjamin Button? There's a character in there who keeps getting struck by lightning every time he talks to Brad Pitt's character. He said 7 times too, so he's probably based on this guy that I'm talking about, the real guy. He said, you know, he'd say, for instance, I was struck by lightning 7 times, once when I was fixing my roof. And do you remember the awful footage? It looks like it's 19th century. And just this comical bolt of lightning hitting him, and it's weird frame rate and everything.
Yeah.
Every time I watched him get struck, I would just—it was a belly laugh, and I don't laugh too often in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, I didn't know. I mean, I was easily the hardest one laughing, but I've got a weird sense of humor.
Oh God! One time. You reminded me just now. One time, Ben and I... Have you seen the movie The Founder?
Yeah.
We saw that, yeah.
Oh, you saw that together? Okay, great. For those who don't know, it's about the guy who stole Rick Rock stole McDonald's from these two decent guys, fucked them over completely, then ended up dying a billionaire. But there's a scene...
taking his wife. Or the other guy's wife.
He steals the guy's wife. He steals the business.
He gives him the heart attack. It seems I would see New York.
No. He does a bunch of evil shit, and he just becomes powerful, and nothing bad happens to him until he dies of old age. But I love that movie. I think it's Michael Keaton's best performance.
You don't think Birdman is?
No. But that's just me.
I mean, I'd say Birdman is Michael Keaton's most technically demanding. Long shots.
I won't argue with that.
Yeah, his best performance. I'll start thinking about that. But yeah, Founder.
For me, it's The Founder. Because he's so sleazy and but believable. But anyway.
He does excel in that kind of role.
There's a scene where, maybe it's a different scene where this line is said, but I remember it. I have the Blu-ray. I need to watch it again, but I remember it being, there's a scene where he's sitting down, Ray Kroc, who ends up turning McDonald's into kind of what it is today, is sitting with the owners of this for the first time, and they're discussing what they're going to do, they're discussing the history of the restaurant, how it started, they moved from one town to the other, how they came to conclusions, what to get off the menu. They're telling him their business strategy, and he's asking them this, and he asked them about something that McDonald's does in their business.
Is it the instant milkshakes, the powder?
Oh no, that's much later.
Yeah,
but that's something Kroc finds, when they're just talking for the first time, so how'd you do this? And then the brothers' names, they're Dick and Mac McDonald, and. So how did you guys figure out how to do this for your business? And then Mac puts his hand on Dick McDonald's shoulder, and he says, well, my friend, That's another case of pure dick magic. Ben and I were laughing so fucking hard.
I thought both of those guys were hilarious. And what's the guy's goddamn?
Nick Offerman.
God, he's funny. But the other guy, when even like your sense of humor when he was having a heart attack, I thought was funny.
Really?
Well, yeah, because I thought it was a completely comical scene, because I knew, you kind of knew it was coming. And
I just wanted you to have your dream.
Yeah, but I saw it as a comical scene, as an actor. I mean, of course, it's a real serious thing in real life, and I don't know if it really happened that way exactly, but I'm sure he had that second heart attack. But the way he played it out and the brothers freaking out, oh, don't have the heart attack. It's funny. They're like husband and wife. You know? I mean, you got,
they're really close brothers.
You got to find humor in that.
Oh, of course.
You got to.
But after I saw the movie, every time I see something based on real life, I go home and I look up as much information as I can. And apparently, the Mac McDonald, the heart attacky one, ended up dying at an early age, and Dick blamed the stress of losing the business to Ray Kroc.
Those guys were ridiculous.
God.
Well, I like their values. Like, it's so clear they weren't in it for the money.
They
wanted to stay wholesome.
They were in it for money to a certain degree in terms of wanting to make a living.
Oh, yeah. But it didn't really extend to, like, you know, we're going to change how it's done. We're going to start an empire.
Their IQs probably were combined. We're not even that of Ray Kroc's. I mean, that's my point. They just were not smart. It has nothing to do with their values. They were portrayed as not smart.
I don't think they were dumb.
I do.
They were portrayed as maybe
in
a
the
little...
film, they were.
Well, they were
naive.
They were blind to all these tactics that Ray Kroc was coming up with. And they're like, wait, that just goes against my moral code. Like, we would never think like that. You're evil. Why did we enter into an agreement with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way...
Which I really admire them for.
It's...
I don't...
Even though we wouldn't have McDonald's.
I know. I think it's a non-sustainable... They're capitalists or they're not. I don't get it.
They're not, but they started a business. They
but they're
found
a big
out
R with... They're part. Remember, they're huge Republican.
Well, they were capitalists, but they didn't want. Kroc was trying to alter the business and the values they had for the business went beyond making money. They wanted a certain level of quality, and
exactly
they thought. And I understand where Kroc's coming from, but to a certain extent, in the film, they're talking about how ungodly expensive it is to store ice cream in the freezers, and Kroc is having to, Kroc isn't even breaking even because so much money is being spent on storage. Even though franchisees are covering certain costs, Kroc is still responsible for some of the costs and the power and stuff. But it takes a lot of power to freeze ice cream, which you mentioned earlier is where the instant milkshakes come into play. And I see where both sides are coming from.
That's the mark of a good movie,
yeah,
by the way.
Absolutely.
There doesn't seem to be... I mean, Ray Kroc, I think, is seen as a villain.
Oh, absolutely. He doesn't start out that way, but towards the end, he kind of is.
That. Maybe an anti protagonist, an anti, you know...
He's an asshole.
It's a story about...
He's a fucking prick.
Yeah, but he's also a man down on his luck for the first part of it.
Well, yeah, but... Right.
And I love movies that make you feel for everybody. Those are some of the best stories. Because you can see where everyone's coming from. If you have to kill me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have a really good reason, the movie explains it, but it's still from my point of view. If I'm the main character and you end up killing me, if that movie is still making people feel for you.
Oh.
And it's such a big thing nowadays. I'm team this. No, I'm team that.
Oh, yeah.
Choose your side. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones is doing that. I'm team Stark.
Oh, yeah.
You know? That's just a big buzzword. You know, you gotta have teams.
Yeah.
But if some people could be on team Jeff, even though he's, like, a murderer?
I am not.
What an incredible movie, though, to watch both sides and feel for both characters. And you even feel for the... Well, it's just because Heath Ledger's so damn good. But, you know his motivations, too. Even though he's a psychopath, he's got a common thread. And, yeah, go ahead.
Hitchcock, remind me of that. After you're done talking, though.
I love movies that have all these multiple points of views to make people like Jordan say, you know.
Should I move my car?
They're not here yet. I'd wait. So it's not in the street.
To inspire that kind of debate, though, we're talking about who's the idiot in The Founder.
Yeah.
When we thought it was, pretty cut and dry. Like, no, Ray Kroc shouldn't have done that. And
idiot.
Like, I absolutely should have. They're idiots.
I don't think any of them were idiots.
I think the movie made them look dumb.
I disagree, because the way that Kroc ends up... We'll get back to that, but the disagreement that is so... You can understand both sides.
Yes.
The Ray Kroc wants to use the milkshake mix to cut down on freezing costs. But the brothers don't want to do the instant mix because they want real fucking milkshakes.
They want the control customers. Over their restaurant.
Yeah.
But they also want it to be a chain.
They want to have quality as well as the chain. And they
don't grasp something.
I think they're...
And this is where a lot of times Hollywood misses the mark. And they didn't with this. But oftentimes they do because they don't understand real life business.
What are you in it for? And I think they were, if they were to take the stance of quantity over quality, they would be losing a big part of themselves.
Yeah.
They'd feel like zombies. They'd have the money, but they wouldn't have it for the right reasons in their moral minds.
They should have just kept with their one or two shops.
I think they were fine with that.
They were fine with that.
It was Ray Kroc that busted in and said, look, this is what it could be. We could be everywhere.
So what? He gave a great motivational talk. They had the contract.
That's why I feel
him.
For him, too.
Ray Kroc didn't even read that contract. They had the legal leverage on him.
Wasn't it the other way around? Kroc drafted the contract?
No, at first, what they had the contract at they had the contracts on him where it was their business. But the way that Kroc threw them off is he ended up acquiring ownership rights to the land the restaurant was on.
Right.
And that's how he fucked the brothers over. Mm-hmm. But I can see both sides.
Yeah.
The brothers.
It's frankly pretty cool that you're pro Kroc to hear this.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is that they were trying to use him for a while. You don't remember that part?
No.
Oh, man.
You know, it's the movies that I only see once, the finer details escape you immediately.
I'm examples of that, but they were using him, keeping him down for a long time.
Well, they didn't want him to run roughshod over them.
And this happens in real life. Again, this is why I give the movie credit. I don't think the movie makes a distinction that Ray Kroc's good or bad. He's just a person in a capitalistic world where now McDonald's pays rappers to just say Big Mac. Biggie Smalls is the first one. Now,
he's called Biggie Smalls because he was paid by McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously.
That's how we became. Huh?
What?
Wow. Yeah.
What? No, wait.
I don't know.
Yes, that's where he got his first huge check.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What was he? Was that before he was known as the Notorious B.I.G. and then McDonald's came?
He had a sponsorship by McDonald's that made him richer than anything ever.
Hmm.
What?
Yeah,
I'm sure they were
But even to this day, they pay rappers to say Big Mac. And I remember going to Manhattan, kind of a crappy side of it, kind of a middle working class side of Manhattan. I was there, and fuck being PC. Every person who was black there was eating McDonald's. It was just the black people in this working neighborhood loved McDonald's, and I'd never seen it in Portland. Never seen it even in other places so much.
But in Manhattan,
in this it was in Midtown, kind of west, just below Harlem, not in Harlem.
And you're saying that it's the Big E effect?
The overall marketing to anybody for whatever reason, how it would by any means necessary. But my point being, going back, Ray Kroc was being portrayed as a person trying to survive, even. And remember, he wasn't even barely surviving at first. Maybe it portrays him as leaving his wife and stealing someone else's wife. That didn't look so good, I guess. But feelings. Then his wife was kind of a bitch. She was talking a lot of crap all the time.
See Kroc so different. I see the whole movie different than you do, man. he was fucking ignoring her, and like she did her best to like cook up.
Well, the reality
when they were at the club,
they skipped a wife. There was another wife in there.
Oh, there was.
Yeah.
Wow. He was at the club.
And he started with his wife flirting with that other girl.
Oh no. Not even that. Uh-huh. No, but he was at the golf club with his wife having dinner.
Yeah.
And the initial people that kind of gave his McDonald's app, his own version of McDonald's, a lift, yeah. None of them were giving him the time of day. It's like, oh, Ray Kroc the Huxer, we're not going to listen to you. Got another idea for us, Ray? And they're about to just tell him to fuck off. And he's essentially that would put a major crimp in what he's trying to do. And like, who comes to his aid? His wife. Listen to this, guys. He's really good. This is a good idea this time. Yeah. You should listen to him. He ends up getting the investments from these people because his wife stepped up. Yeah. He's like, listen to him. He has a great idea. What does he do? He fucking dumps her ass. And then they're divorcing. They're like, so about the McDonald's shares. Listen to me. She's not going to get one single share of McDonald's. Yeah. No way. And she helped. If it weren't for her, your little empire would have collapsed like a fucking house of cards, you prick. But I understand not giving her the majority of the shares, or even half the shares.
We're talking about the movie.
We're talking about the movie.
You can't say for sure about
the movie. About Kroc himself. Yeah. I am talking about the movie.
Yeah.
She's not getting anything. And
yeah.
I see why you wouldn't, like, yeah, he gave her the house, he gave her, like, the car, the insurance, and everything.
Yeah.
But the reason he's fucking rich, or not the only reason, obviously, but a huge reason why he made so much money is that initial push that his wife helped him with, yeah, with those snobby businessmen that they ate lunch with at the golf course.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. Because she spoke up for him, he got the initial investments, and that set things in motion. And he's not going to give her a taste of McDonald's.
If you're scoring points for Ray or against Ray, those points would go against Ray.
Here we go. I'm still team original Mickey D's.
Me too.
It's not okay. I don't care what agreement you entered into. Those brothers didn't think he'd start calling this franchise his own as the movie went on. He just would leave them out of everything and say, McDonald's is mine.
He straight up like committed intellectual theft.
Yeah, and he introduced these radical new menu items and then phoned the brothers later because he had to, just to tell them about it, not to ask.
Well, he loved it, though, but I'm seeing it from the corporate side, which is they kept using them for...
He came to them. They were taking him
for granted. No, they give every guy flipping burgers an opportunity. And Ray Kroc gave the guy doing the good job with the burgers, eventually became one of the heads.
He was like a CEO, didn't he?
Yeah, eventually. So this is a fair businessman.
That was, one second, that, I'll get back to you, I'll give it back to you, but that reminds me that there's a scene where he's, what was the guy's name, flipping burgers? Let's call him Charlie Meyer. That's not his real name, by the way. It's just one I made up. There's a scene that Jordan just mentioned where he's going around this new franchise, and he sees a guy flipping burgers. He's like, wow, you're doing a great job flipping those burgers. I've never seen someone flip burgers so well. What's your name, son? Charlie Meyer. Charlie Meyer. I got to remember that name. And then never mentioned again until, you know, all the True Story movies that have those things where they show where they show what happened. Charlie Meyer became the CEO of McDonald's. They never mention him in between where he's flipping burgers.
That would be
burgers.
A fault of the movie, I think. That's definitely a fault of the movie. To not
but
get
it still
Charlie
shows,
Meyer involved.
It shows that he rewards people for good work and that brothers were stubborn.
Well, is it really good work?
I see the brothers.
They were stubborn because
they probably would have been better business people not working together. Brothers oftentimes don't work well together.
Well, I thought they worked together fine, but they had a certain they wanted a certain benchmark of quality that they felt. I think one thing I will agree with you on that I thought, and this isn't me taking Croc's side over the brothers. I'm still 100% with the brothers, but I think a mistake that the brothers made is they didn't even. And this isn't necessarily real life. This is strictly the movie The Founder.
Okay.
They didn't give the milkshake mixture a chance, which is what I think they should have done that.
Yeah.
They just heard milkshake mix and they got horrified. No, Ray, real ice cream. And I think ultimately I would have been on their side with whatever they decided. But I think if they had given a chance to the mixture, it would have been less antagonistic between him and Croc would not have fucked them at the end.
It's very important to remember that they'd been burned before.
Oh, yeah.
Said that.
Yeah, but they were burning him constantly.
But how were they burning him?
That exact same way.
Oh, the,
anytime
are you talking
he
about
had
the
a good idea. That's one point of several others I saw, which we probably have to see the film again for me to remember all of them.
I don't think they were necessarily burning him. Croc was.
They've been burned before. Everybody's been his business. You know, I think they're using it as an excuse.
No, but what I'm saying is, like certain things that pissed Croc off, the scene where Croc, he's altered the structure of the buildings because they need a basement in the
Midwest. He's getting back at him.
But no, he's saying, I need to add a basement to the structure, and the guy's like, okay, well, he's on the phone saying, hey, we need a basement, and the guy's like, well, I need to have my guy look at it. Because if the design isn't perfect and the floor caves in, I don't want lawsuits, and Croc gets pissed off about that. And I think the brothers had a perfectly fair concern.
I don't remember
concern.
If it, yes. The risk side of it and the safety side of it, whoever was for that was on the right. But I don't remember that who was really on that side.
Croc wanted to move ahead with the building. And
But he was also making, if I remember correctly, making the point that it needed this by either state law or just by common sense, and that you guys aren't moving quickly enough.
What?
And you know,
he wanted to move ahead without the architectural consultation, and the brothers did not want to. And I think speed was his motive. Like the deadline was his factor, but the brothers wanted the architects to look over the plans to make sure that they were safe. And ultimately,
again, in having worked in construction and looking at architectural plans myself for 3.5 years, I'm telling you, so there are architects that look at it for safety, and then there are architects who look at it for other advantage, disadvantage reasons. Specifically going through it, I kind of remember him pushing it through, trying to push it through because in itself needed to be there for safety reasons, and then stalling, if that makes sense.
It does, but I'm still team brothers. I mean, the thing is, Ray Kroc, I think he was extended a lifeline, and most people would have been very thankful for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
To start a McDonald's in another location, and they'll get a percentage for life. But I don't think it was, even though he's got a better mind for business and rapid expansion and taking over the world. He was hungry, but I don't know. It seems evil to me when it definitely wasn't his place.
Do you know what?
To be doing all this. And, you know, you can suggest something and you can be polite about it. And if you get rejected, I don't think it should. You should take it as a personal attack.
I don't see that it's not his place. Because what I don't know what his job title was. I didn't say, but
Jordan, tell me, what do you? You seem pretty solidly on the side of Croc, and he and I are disagree with you. But
hold on,
this
where's the heartbeat? Where's the heartbeat?
Yeah, we got Mr.
So cold.
Yaroslavsky, we got Mr. Grinch coming down the chimneys and stealing Christmas presents. Not really, but no. What about? Do you defend him where he steals the name McDonald's and he forbids the brothers from using the name that they created when they established their own name?
And gives them a really crappy percentage.
I remember watching it.
The handshake deal that he never follows through on.
That, oh my God, there were idiots for thinking that he was going to follow through on that.
That was...
Does that mean he was a bad decision or a bad person? Now we're judging it differently. Empirically, he was right. They were wrong. Morally, I can't really say because that's the bit. They weren't wrong morally, no, to trust somebody, no. But
they didn't, but they, I think,
they knew damn well that he would, they should have known they weren't getting anything.
I think they knew, but they were in, that Croc had put them in a position with, I forget exactly what led them to the point they were in at the end of the movie.
He didn't have to say Croc, that, but he said that, yeah. It's...
Croc?
I think that empirically, it comes down to it legally, that he did what he could do. He didn't have to do, though. And, yeah, they probably should have... He probably should have followed through on that promise, and I probably was watching it hoping
Croc just had more resources to work with. They were intimidated by his wealth by that point. He had used their business to amass massive wealth, much of which he left them out of.
Their business model. Yep.
Their business model he used to amass massive wealth, which he left. He pretty much screwed them on that.
And then once
they were trying to negotiate the deal at the end, they were intimidated by how much wealth they had.
They were saying,
and they couldn't possibly fight back.
Why didn't you just take the model and start your own business? And he's like, it's about the name.
Yeah.
And yeah, that makes him look like a villain, and the way it's portrayed and all that. So, and when I'm saying on his side, I'm kind of just saying those guys were not that bright. I'm not saying that they were bad or good people, or he was a better person or worse, but kind of they were stubborn, which is a bad quality, which at first for a while they were stubborn, and they didn't give in until they had no choice.
I think John Carroll Lynch, he wasn't portrayed as being particularly bright, but Nick Offerman, Dick McDonald, was brighter. And he was more skeptical, more shrewd of, he was more skeptical of him, but,
Yeah, and then the other guys just, you know, maybe, I love, who's the other actor that plays the taller, balder?
John Carroll Lynch.
Oh, man.
But let's
I felt so bad for him.
Me too.
Mostly.
Think about it, we're watching a movie about the founders of McDonald's and the expansion of McDonald's.
Yeah.
Why are we judging this on morality?
That's the thing. It's about the establishment of the ethics that govern McDonald's to this day. It started as this like sweet little.
I don't even need it at McDonald's.
Well, depending on who conceived of the movie, I mean, you could say yes, it's about that. I don't know how true to life it's trying to be.
I'm amazed they got away with making it, by the way, that McDonald's didn't just steal
the living
shit.
At first it sounded like a huge promotion for McDonald's. We were both thinking that.
Yeah.
We were like, oh my God, what is this? And then eventually it got a little more hairy.
And none of the McDonald's you see in the movie are the McDonald's that you know today. They're all like really old style, huge arches ones, but it doesn't look like a modern McDonald's, but it's the early company, but I don't know how they got away with making a movie about their company's standard that makes them look, well, Yaroslavsky disagrees, but to a lot of people, makes them look like a fucking asshole.
Yeah, well, I was just going to get back
first,
to, who wrote this movie? You know, it was his idea or her idea at first, who was it?
I don't know.
I don't think that's the story they necessarily wanted to tell. you're seeing it through such a business lens, and that's just like not how I operate.
No, but you agreed with me when I first said it. That first, it felt like this movie is promoting McDonald's, and that's all it's doing. At first,
McDonald's at the time.
Because they were ahead of their time, and this is great, and there's nothing bad. I'm like, are we going to get to anything, any conflicts here?
Mm-hmm.
I see what
real human conflict, though. This movie is great because we're having this debate.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I said, halfway, not even halfway, about a third of the way, the first third of the movie, I was thinking that, and you agreed with me.
Right, but I did not watch this movie for McDonald's.
Well, me neither. That's my point. That's why we agreed. Okay. We're not watching this
because I didn't want to watch it for history. I wanted to see great performances, and you know, this was getting a little bit of Oscar buzz too.
Which I think it was fucking snubbed. I think Heaton deserved a nomination.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
He was
that's not my bigger point. My bigger point was, depending on who wrote it though. It's up to the writer to determine what this story is really about. And McDonald's might have just been a framework to really say, you know, I want to tell a story about the lengths some people will go when they see an opportunity. Will they jump all over it? And then there's Ray Kroc. And then, okay, well, we need a counterexample. Oh, right, I can go back into history. And this just makes so much sense. I'm going to tell this story about morals versus cold business logic. And, you know, it's up to you guys to make of it what you will. I think great movies do that. They don't, and I don't know how historically accurate this was, but some of the best movies don't paint a villain or a hero.
Mm-hmm.
They just paint human beings, and here's the events. Here's the events of the story. Boom, boom, boom.
Anti-protagonist.
I think it's, the film's definitely ambiguous enough where,
if you can see everyone's motivation, I think it's a job well done, no matter what happens.
But like, if you're pro-McDonald's in real life, then you have to at least acknowledge, without Ray Kroc, you would not have your dream restaurant.
I hardly think McDonald's is my dream.
Some people just love it. You know,
some people do. In the 90s, I liked it. I liked Taco Bell, too. How wrong I was.
It's
a lot of my own.
I like them, but there's way better restaurants. You don't go to fat. There's a few fast food restaurants that are great.
Right. So
Don Cholito's is one restaurant, and it's great food.
To you, Ray Kroc is not the savior of the Golden Arches.
But let's
you know.
But let's not look at it through the prism of what we know McDonald's to be today. But rather through the prism.
I don't care because this wasn't a. This is not a documentary.
No.
You know, I think it's a character study. And that's why I'm drawn to movies.
Yeah, exactly. And the film started out as a promotion of McDonald's.
I felt like that.
I agree to an extent, but where I disagree, holy shit, we've been going for 2 hours. Where I disagree is, the McDonald's that they portray in the movie is so far removed. Like they just had like cheeseburgers, fries, and a Coke, and the way the format of the restaurant and how it works is so far removed from what McDonald's is now that it's.
I think they got Ray Kroc for that.
Well, even the early Kroc McDonald's that they show in the film are basically copies of the McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But it's promoting a nostalgic view of McDonald's as opposed to what McDonald's is as we understand it now. It's
and how cutting edge it was at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now McDonald's is,
which it probably had to do to set the precedence. It had to do that to set the precedence for the remainder of the movie.
Yeah.
And why it was so important.
One of my favorite scenes in that movie is when Kroc first arrives at the restaurant, and he's like, "Hey, can I have a burger, a fries, and a shake?" And he's standing there, counting his food. Here you go, sir. He's like, what
am I supposed to do?
What's my food? I just ordered.
Yeah.
Was that the light bulb scene? I think it's while he was eating. I thought it was a really funny scene.
Yeah, me too.
And he's like, where do I take this? Wherever you want, sir.
Mm-hmm. They establish him like sitting in a in parking lots at drive-in food places for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He's like, what's taking so long? So when he gets to this fast food restaurant, his food's there like really in a minute.
Funny too,
and he just does it's a culture shock. And that's kind of where he gains interest and then sends him on his mission.
Probably you and
do it. You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up with. Let's wrap it up with like one more like brief like one more question.
The question.
Trying to think of a good question.
Can it not be founder related?
We sure.
talked so much. It's a movie I like, and I think it's really well done, but I don't love it.
We may have like talked like half an hour about The Founder.
My God, I bet over any other movie, I could not have dreamed. Listen, it's very well put together, but altogether, I mean, I don't care that much about this, about the starting of a business. It's like I'm a sci-fi guy.
I gotcha.
I'm a sci-fi guy. Yeah, go ahead.
Trying to think of a good question. Either of you have any good questions that you're able to think of, just something we can wrap it up with.
I was thinking if we were going to talk about anything the most, any one movie, I thought for sure we were veering in the direction of Force Awakens. and I'd ask a question related to that. What makes The Force Awakens great? And you can't say something that made Episode 4 great. How about that for a question?
I don't know if I'll be able to answer that.
It's a remake. That's what it is.
Well,
so you can't answer that question.
Well, it's Star Wars. It's great because it's a good Star Wars movie.
So J.J. Abrams didn't add a great element to it.
I thought John Boyega was pretty damn good. And the chick, Daisy Ridley.
I did fall in love with her.
She's amazing. The picture of her giving Mark Hamill a piggyback ride.
I have not seen that.
You haven't? Oh, God. I think it might be the most photoshopped picture in internet history.
Have you heard some of the things Mark Hamill has said about the direction of Star Wars?
No.
He has said so bad. It is, and I'll show you this video.
He doesn't like it?
Nah.
No.
Well.
He doesn't.
Anyway, my question is, why do you think I think you're a fish?
Oh, my shirt is... he's talking about my shirt. It says not a fish on it. It's a, I don't know where she came up with it, but my 12-year-old sister came up with this thing.
I know
that. Yeah. she started saying, Jeff Crenshaw is not a fish. I don't know what started that in her mind, but it's just something she said. She says all the time, and eventually it became kind of an inside joke, and for my birthday she got me this shirt. Not a fish. I don't know what it means or why it has to be specified that I'm not a fish, but I like the shirt because of the significance of the joke.
I like the color scheme, blue and green. My favorite color is blue green. So if you got both those, it's a good shirt.
I love it. I've gotten compliments when I've worn it in public because I like your shirt. It's not a fish. It's so random. My grandma thinks it's going to become a huge thing. Everyone's going to start wearing out of fish shirts.
Sure.
I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but...
Don't let like him it. Start your company.
Yeah.
I mean...
Fuck off with your ethics, Jordan.
You'll make some coin, but just wait.
You'll make some coin.
Okay, well, actually, don't fuck off. I want some coin.
Yeah, exactly.
But what made you want to be an actor?
That is a great question. Well, I was in college,
mm-hmm.
thinking I was going to be either a doctor or a scientist. And then the further I got into chemistry, because I wanted my major to be biology. That's something I'm interested in. And chemistry is just hard numbers. It really is. And they take the fun out of everything. I thought learning about acids would be fun. Oh, how they corrode stuff and eat through metal. And no, it's just numbers, you know,
no
pKa
lab work.
Values. Not with acids. I mean, you might... It's not to learn how cool they are. It's just numbers. pKa values, you know.
You're expecting molarity. Like a Bill Nye experience.
Yes.
Yeah. I hear you.
Right. So that's why they call it hard science, I think, because it's hard because you don't care. But, you know, taking biochemistry, all the stuff I want to do just to be a doctor. Let's get to the operating, right? You can't do that. You have to do math equations to be a doctor?
Wow.
It doesn't seem to make sense, does it? So I quickly lost my love of all that just because of all the prereqs, you know? Okay, forget even being a scientist. I graduated with a degree in general science, and I think I knew as soon as I graduated that's not gonna go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Because I don't really care about being rich if it's a job that I don't love. I was still searching for something that I loved, and not long after, well, maybe a year after, because I graduated in 2010 from PSU.
Mm-hmm.
I was an extra on the pilot episode of Grimm.
Really? The pilot?
Yeah, the very first episode. And, you know, that's not a big deal to people that are in the industry. To me, it was a huge deal. I could not believe the energy, you know, that they were able to close down a street for a television show.
Wow.
It just seemed so cool.
And that's kind of where you got the spark.
That's where I got the spark. Yeah. You know, I was just an extra, but to me it was like, you know, when you see this new world for the first time, and it opens your eyes, and you get so excited, you wanna be in the middle, you know, because the trucks go on for blocks, but that's not the set. To one day get the opportunity to be in the center of this energy, this thing that gives you life.
Why did you choose acting, and what are your experiences? I should have asked you that, too.
Well, I kept getting fired from my regular jobs. So even if I held a job for, like, a few years, I realized that it wasn't that I wasn't proficient at my job. It was more like I didn't want to be there because I felt like it wasn't my calling. Not to mention... the creative side of my brain needs to be balanced. That is the right side of the brain needs to be balanced with my left brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like someday, after I'm successful in the creative sense, I'm gonna get a physics degree.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And so I can actually talk about that quantum theory and string theory and quantum physics and actually have something to back it up with.
Wow. I would not be able to follow that very well, I don't think.
That's my answer.
Well, cool.
That's exactly why.
It's a very unique and singular. Get it? Singularity?
But it was a dichotomy, actually.
I know. The dichotomy of your brain. No, I like that. Yeah.
Well, this is
a duality.
Yeah, sure.
Well, this has been a fun episode of Heavy Set Go. I'm Jeff Crenshaw.
Jordan Yaroslavsky, the man.
Evan Hayes.
And you've been listening to Heavy Set Go. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wow. All
right.
You guys want to see that video?
Holy shit!
This is Heavy Set.